Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Masjid Darul Salam, Toronto, Canada. Wednesday after Asr Salah, 22nd of Ramadan, 31st of July, 2013. Desires have to be in control to be safe from fitna. One person offered 40 Salah in Masjid Nabawi with the intention of making zina. The intensity of the tawbah of a sahabiya. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Malana Subhan Dalvi Shahid Damat Barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillahilladhi. أنزل قرآنا عربيا وهدانا صراطا سويا والصلاة والسلام على محمد الذي بعث رسولا نبيا وعلى آله وصحبه الذين سلكوا طريقا مرضيا أما بعد. My respected elders, dearest brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith which has been related by Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih, in Kitabul Fitn. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the state in which hearts will become closer towards the time of Qiyamah. He says, تُعْرَضُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ fitn. That fitn and trials and tribulations, tests, fitnas, desires will come upon the hearts of man. There will come a time where the hearts of man, they will be tested with regards to many a trial, many a fitna, many a desire, many things which beckon them and call them towards evil. كالحصير عودًا عودًا. To the extent that these fitnas will come like a straw mat. Just like you have one mat. And it has one piece of straw and another piece of straw and another piece of straw until you have a solid mat in front of you. This is the same way in which a Muslim's heart, the heart of the man, the heart of a Muslim, a mu'min, a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how his heart will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the tests will come one after the other. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبَهَا نُقِتَتْ فِيهِ نُقْتَةً سَوْدَى. That whichever person lets his heart take this fitna in, take this desire in, one fitna comes after another fitna and after another fitna. Now this term fitna, we usually translate and we usually define as something which is a person's, which a person has a trial with regards to, something a person can't control. And many a time a person finds his fitna within his hawa, his desires. So this is what we are talking about today. So whomsoever these fitnas, these desires come in front of him, these carnal desires within his heart, they place themselves in front of him. And as a result, he doesn't say no to them, but his heart soaks them in. One after the other, desire after desire, his heart begins to accumulate in all these fitnas within its heart. A person accumulates this all within his heart. Until nukitat fihi nuktatan sawda. Until his heart begins to be dotted with the darkness of sins. He keeps on accumulating one sin and another sin and another sin. Because what is hawa? What is desire? Al-hawa may yahwi sahibuhu ila jahannam. That hawa is that thing which pushes and drags the one who is performing it and perpetrating it into the fire of jahannam. This is what the desire is. The desire is that thing which takes a person and throws him into the fire of hell. So his heart begins to be sinning in this regard, and it becomes blemished and a black dot. Until the entire heart in its entirety is taken over in this regard. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the other side of things. He said, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أَنْكَرَهَا نُكِتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةً بَيْضًا. That any such person who rejects all these desires which are coming to his heart, that he was steadfast with regards to the first fitna and that first carnal desire which came into his heart, he was steadfast with regards to it. He didn't want to know. Then his heart becomes dotted with whiteness. It becomes luminous, glowing, And he continues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every fitna which comes to this person, and for every fitna he says no to, every single desire and hawa that comes to him and he says no to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dots his heart with a beautiful type of coloring, beautiful white coloring. حَتَّى تَصِيرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبَيْنِ Until the situation of the hearts of people become of two types. One person's heart, أَبْيَضْ مِثْلُ الصَّفَّةِ His heart, because he has rejected all these sins, his heart will become white like marble. Clean marble. There will be no خَبَاسَةِ There will be no filth. There will be no kachra in his heart. It will be completely clean. لَا تَدُرُّهُ فِتْنَةٌ مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ And for as long as the heavens and the earth remain intact, no fitna will be able to afflict his heart. This is how it, because he said no in the beginning. And the second type, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَسْوَدٌ مُرْبَادٌ كَالْكُوزِ مُجَخْيًا لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا مَا أُشْرِبَ إِلَّا هَوَى أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ That the second type of heart will become such that his heart will become darkened. Darkened like ash. A vessel in which there is no light. There will be no nur. You know that nur of iman that is there in the heart. Because the person is completely in this obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will no longer remain in his heart. Rather his heart becomes dark. Blackened. Like ash. There is no goodness coming out of it. لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا It does not recognize that which is good. وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا And it does not reject that which is bad. If there is something good which is coming towards it, something which will benefit it, some form of goodness, it does not recognize it. And if there is anything which will afflict it, which will cause pain to it, then it does not have the capacity to reject it. It only follows its hawa. Whatever its desire is, if its desire says go this way, it becomes capricious. Capricious like a goat. The goat you see, it follows here and there. It goes here and there. It doesn't go in a straight way. You can't hold a goat and say to it that go this way. It needs shepherding. You see that sheep, it will go here and there. In fact, in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa, Oh Musa, do you know why I made you my Nabi? Do you know why I made you the prophet of my prophet? Musa alayhi salam said, No, ya Allah, I don't know. Why did you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, It was because of your actions with regards to a sheep from amongst your group that had gone away. And you were chasing after it and it was running away from you and you could not catch it. Until you ran the entire mountain trying to catch hold of this sheep. Because this sheep doesn't go in one place. You tell it to go here, it will go there. And that's why people say this person is behaving incredibly sheepish today. Because he's doing all sorts of things. So this sheep was running all around the mountain. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam eventually caught it. And he said to this sheep, he put this sheep down on his lap. And he began to stroke it. And he said to the sheep, that why did you run away from me? Why did you run away from me? And he didn't hit the sheep. Many a time people will hit that animal. I remember when I was in Egypt recently, I went to ride a horse. I was in Egypt for a good period of this year for studies. So on the weekend, some of the students there, they would go horse riding. So I thought to myself, okay, it's sunnah, let me go horse riding as well. Now my horse's name was Asfur. And when I was riding it, it kept on fighting with another horse which was there. And it kept on trying to bite the neck of the other horse. So I asked the person who owned these horses, why does he do this? He says, because this is the alpha male. This horse, he wishes that he is in charge of everything else. And he doesn't like competition from amongst the other horses in the stable. So he kept on trying to bite it. And immediately that horse owner, he had a big stick. And he gave it a whack upon its nose. And immediately it came down to how it should be. So sometimes that owner lacks a lot of patience. And he kept on beating it. I had to stand in front of him and I said, no, please don't hit him. You can see it hurts him so much. He gets so scared, he goes away the other side. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't hurt his sheep like this. A sheep, it doesn't even have that strong muscle like that horse has. And that sheep was such that he was stroking it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I like this deen of yours. Because this is how insan will be. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say that it is harder to control insan than it is to control animals. That insan is just like this. It likes to go this way and this way and this way. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in this regard, the reason why all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were shepherds, was to teach them to be patient with regards to the things that they will go and do with the community. Because the community will be worse than this. At least the sheep, it will go there, it won't come and hit you back. Rather, the community which they were going to go into, that community will go and be people within that community who will go and follow their own desires, and they will leave the Nabi, and the Nabi will have to be extremely patient upon them. This is why all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had these characteristics with regards to being calm in the face of people who are trying to do wrong against them. Khair, the topic that we are discussing here is with regards to hawa. And the likes of Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah would say, he would say, جَاهَدُوا هَوَاكُمْ كَمَا جَاهَدُوا أَعْدَاءَكُمْ. That fight and make struggle against your desires like the way you would fight against your enemies. Because your desires are such things that if a person can't keep them in control, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one really beautiful verse of the Quran, He says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Have you not seen that person who has made his God, who has made his ilah, he has made his Allah, his desires. He has made his desires. Everything that his desires tell him. Now what is the job of an ilah? The job of a God is that he commands you to do something. And the job of the slave is that he fulfills it. Now his heart, his desires become like, his desires become like a God for him. In that his desires say to him that go and perpetrate this deed, and he feels the need to perpetrate. He says, go and do this deed. He feels the need to do it. In our day and age, there are many things that we have desires with regards to. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ هُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the first thing He says, made beautiful for man, is His love for those things which are desirous to Him. He feels a lot of desire for them. And He's ardent with regards to them. And the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions therein, He says, مِنَ النِّسَى, with regards to women. مَا تَرَكْتُ مِنْ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَّرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that I have not left behind a trial which is more arduous, which is more difficult upon a Muslim than that trial with regards to women. That all it takes is a person to sit, who is sitting in his bedroom, to hear a woman walking past and he'll want to peep outside, peeping Tom. And he wants to look, where is she passing by? A man is such that as soon as he sees or he hears the voice of a woman, he's maybe sitting in his room and he hears that there are women talking outside. And he eventually he feels that I really need to look. And just to see who this voice belongs to. And he looks outside and he sees that there is a woman. Maybe she's 60, 70 year old. And then he goes back into his room. There is nothing there to see. So this is how insan is. This is how man is. A man becomes desirous to a variety of things. This is just an example because it is the most common example. And this also afflicts women as well with regards to things that they find beloved. Sometimes women find shopping beloved. You sometimes see a woman, she goes to Haram, she goes to Mecca, and she finds it hard to go around that tawaf. She's saying, when will this Umrah finish? When will this Umrah finish? Then the husband says to her, don't worry, when the Umrah is finished, we'll go shopping. And she says, okay, let's continue going. And then that very same woman, when she's going into the shopping market, she'll be here, there, and every shop. So what happens with regards to a person is fitnas, you know, his desires come towards him. And they tell him, and they beckon him to do all types of wrong. Sometimes they tell him to do those wrongs which are extremely bad. And sometimes they tell him to do things which are less bad. But the thing is with a person's desire. And a person now has to realize, now we know that hawa, we know that these problems that we have, these desires that we have are a problem for us. What are we going to do to take them out of our life? Many people like to find the problem. Many people say that this is a problem. Well, what is the remedy? It is easy to tell a person you've got the flu. But only is it beneficial when a person then gives a remedy to it. Now this is what we want to discuss with regards to. What are the remedies to subduing ourselves? Because when a person then gets rid of these things, You know, sometimes a person can become, you know, schizophrenic. You know, schizophrenic, you know, you have a person who has two different personalities within himself. It's a condition, mental condition. And sometimes this person feels he is one type of person, and another time he becomes another type of person. And many of us become like this with regards to our hawa and our desires and our shahwa. That when we are pious, we are extremely pious. When we come to the masjid, we are extremely pious. We are praying, we are doing good deeds, we are giving sadaqah. But then sometimes there comes that time where it is as if we are a changed person. That where is just as easy as it was to commit sin. Just as easy as it was to commit good deeds. It's just as easy to commit sin. The mind changes just like that. And that person is not satisfied until he has committed that sin. This is how it becomes with regards to a person. So what is the way to pull yourself out of this mode of thinking? This desirous, you know, being so taken over by a person's carnal desire. First and foremost, it is with regards to making sure you pray your salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That indeed this salah is such a thing. It prevents a person from committing immoral and vulgar actions. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was this young man. And this young man fell in love with this young girl. And he really, really wanted to commit zina with her. And he came up to her and he said that, I want to commit zina with you. So she said, okay, this is not such a big deal. I will commit zina with you on this one condition. That you pray 40 of your salah in congregation in Masjidun Nabawi. And at this time Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalif, so he was also the Imam. So pray behind him 40 salah. And after that 40 salah you can come back to me and we will commit zina. No problem. So the man says, okay. And he goes to the masjid. Now look at what his intention was. He came to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a sinful person. As a person who was intent on doing wrong. A person who was following each of his desires. And he goes there and he begins to pray his salah in jama'ah behind Umar radiallahu anhu. In about 5, 6, 7 days, he begins lowering his gaze. In about 10, 15 days, the thought of committing this atrocious act with this woman is out of his mind. And then when that woman comes by him and she says to him, have you remembered that pact that we have made that you will be committing with me in a few days' time? There's only a limited amount of time left. Do you remember this? And he begins crying and crying and crying and says, I make tawbah and istighfar from this. I don't want to ever commit any deed like this such and such again. So this woman makes ta'ajjub. And she's wondrous as to why he has done this. So she goes to Umar radiallahu anhu and she relates the entire story to Umar. And Umar radiallahu anhu, she says, what is the reason to this? And Umar radiallahu anhu relate this verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That indeed this salah is such a thing. It stops a person from committing those deeds which are wrong and immoral and vulgar. So a person who is punctual on his salah. And the greatest time that you are going to be punctual in your salah is which month, my brothers? It's this month. This is the only month in which, you know, our social cohesion, our being in unison in the actions that we do, having this unity amongst us, it is something that we should have throughout the year. However, it really comes about during the month of Ramadan. This is where we see the Muslims acting upon ta'awun ala al-birri wa taqwa. Wa ta'awun ala al-birri wa taqwa. That help one another with regards to good deeds and with regards to taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month of all months that we see social cohesion amongst the Muslims. That the very same Muslim who is making sair in the morning and is making suhoor, he is the same person who with his brother is fasting during the daytime. And he's making iftari with him as well. And not only that during the day he's with him, during the evening they are standing together in Taraweeh. There is this big social, emphasis with regards to doing things in jama'ah and doing things in congregation. Therefore, if you want to do something and you want to become punctual on something, then you need to do it during this month. And whatever is left with regards to it, whatever has gone, has gone. Don't dwell on it just yet. Let Ramadan finish and then think about it. But you still have a job to do. You can't look at what has gone and think to yourself, oh, I've done nothing, I might as well do nothing for the rest of the month. So what do you want then? What are you going to get out of this month? There will be nothing for you at the end of this month. Rather look towards what is remaining from this month and think to myself, and think to yourself that, okay, I will continue in this vein of trying to better myself. And for as long as I am in this masjid, as a mu'takif or a person who will be coming from outside as inside, then I will be a person who will be punctual on my prayers. I will make sure I will read my Fajr Salah. I will make sure I read everything just how it should be. And I will try to add my sunnahs in there if I have not been reading my sunnahs. If I've just been praying my five each day, just my fara'id, and I'm not doing anything with regards to my sunan and my nafil, then say to yourself, I will add some sunnahs in there as well. And slowly but surely, إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَىٰ. Indeed, mountains are made by pebbles. You make yourself a mountain later on, but first you need to collect the pebbles. And you need to build yourself up in this regard. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you too with regards, in this regard as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes to that person who wishes to do good. So this is what we have to make sure we do. So that we are punctual on our salah. And another thing is that we make tawbah. And we make istighfar towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not that istighfar that we make towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is just lip service. But rather we make that tawbah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. That, O you who believe, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere repentance. Now there is one term which is tawbah, and there is one term which is istighfar. And many people think it is the same thing. Istighfar is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. A person who says astaghfirullah, he is asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying, oh Allah, I ask you to forgive me. But tawbah is a person who, that sin that he has committed, he does not go back to it. He changes his life in that regard. And he feels nadama and asaf. He feels sadness upon that sin which he has committed. And if that sin entails him stealing something, then or not paying zakah, or not doing those good things, then he accumulates these things that he has done wrong. And he gives it back to that person that he has taken that haq away from. This is what tawbah is. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a woman who had committed zina, and she had passed away. Now when she was passing away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed her janaza salah upon her, and he made dua for her. Now Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw this, and he said, oh Rasulullah, you make dua and you read salatul janaza upon a person who has committed zina and fornication, such a great deed, and who has passed away in that regard as well. How can you do such a deed? How can you do this, Ya Rasulullah? And Rasulullah, and in another narration, one sahabi said that she has died the dog of a death. She has died the death of a dog. That this is what she has died. In this regard, she has died. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu, stop right there. لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَوْ قُسِمَتْ عَلَى سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوَسِعَتْ لَهُمْ. That indeed this woman has committed to such a tawbah. She has made such a tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if her tawbah was to be distributed amongst the people of Medina, then it would be enough for the people of Medina to have all their sins forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. And in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ قُسِمَتْ عَلَى سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. This term سَبْعِين, which means 70, in the Arabic language, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you find within the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned سَبْعِين, أَنْتُمْ تُطِمُّونَ سَبْعِينَ أُمَّةً أَنْتُمْ أَكْرَمُهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have come to complete 70 odd nations, in and you, as being the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the most exalted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Because you command which is good and you forbid which is evil. But this hadith does not mean that there were 70 nations before you, just 70 and that was it. Rather, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the word sabi'een, or 70, odd, it is in the meaning of ikthar and takthir, that there is a lot. Like how we say, how many people were there in the mosque? There were hundreds in the mosque. There were hundreds in the mosque. That does not mean that there is 100 in the mosque. It could be 200 and 300. It is just that a person is using this to emphasize. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said here is that if it was to be distributed upon 70 from the people of Medina, not meaning 70, but the majority, a lot of the people of Medina, the tawbah of this woman was such that her tawbah would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a great drought, a great famine in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the people went to him and they said, "Oh Musa, you know, you are the one who converses and speaks with regularity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about you go to Allah and tell him that we are hoping for you to bring down water amongst us, and so that water can be brought down. We need this for our crops, for our livelihood." Musa alayhi salatu wasalam took 70 men from amongst them. And he said that, "Okay, I will take these 70 and we will go and we will pray towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And they went into an open field and they raised their hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a scene this must have been. That it is completely sunny skies. They are in a field, 70 of the most pious men of the community, led by a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that too, Jalilul Qadr, a great and magnificent Nabi like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he is standing there. And he's making dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to understand this situation in context, from amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned the most. And where is he mentioned? He's mentioned in 28 chapters of the 30 chapters in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention. You know, when a person loves another person, he makes mention of that person frequently. He's thinking frequently. Whenever he can mention such a thing, or something about that person, he says, "She's like this, she's like that, she's like this, she's like that." He likes to mention little things about with regards to her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to the extent that wherever he can mention Musa alayhi salam, he mentions him here and there. To the extent that out of the 30 paras of the Quran, 28 have the mention of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in there. Now, he is making dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, "Oh Allah, bring down the rain." And the rain is not coming to the people. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam becomes quite anxious. And he says, "Oh Allah, I made dua towards you and you did not accept my dua." And he says, "Oh Musa, there is a man from amongst your community. He has been sinning for all his life. There is not a sin except that he has perpetrated it and committed it. There is not a sin except that he has been part of it. I will not let the mercy come down upon your qawm and the rain come upon your qawm until this person is exiled from the community and sent out from the community." Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, this is how angry Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Tell me who this person is." He says, "No, because this person is still my slave and I do not exploit and make manifest and expose the sins of my slave." Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returns and he says to Banu Israel, that, "Oh people, from amongst you there is a man. And this man, there is not a single sin except that he has performed it in his life. And he has never once in his life made tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. Rather, he would continually sin regularly. And until this man does not leave our community, the reign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy will not descend." Now can you imagine the entire qawm turning against him? The entire qawm, "Okay, where is this man? Nikala was called. Where is he? Take him out now. And they are all ready to, you know, lynch mob him and throw him out. And this man, he is there and he has a scarf over his head. And he begins crying his tears. And he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "I did not make tawbah towards you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today I am making my tawbah towards you. I make tawbah." And it was with his heart. You know, sometimes the people just say astaghfirullah, but there is no meaning in there. Their tawbah holds and the istighfar holds no worth. But when a person sometimes he says astaghfirullah once, but he says it with his heart and he says it with his blood, sweat and tears that I have committed a sin, and he makes i'lan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am your sinful slave, but I am coming back towards you. Like Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, at the time of his death he would say, "Okay, oh Allah, when I measured my sins, they measured a mountain. But I swear by you, Allah, when I measured your mercy and your forgiveness against my sins, then your mercy was far greater than my sins." This is what he mentioned. "Your mercy was far greater than my sins." So this man begins crying and he turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in complete and sincere repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the rain down. Now Musa alayhi salam, the people of Bani Israel, they are completely stunned. That how has the rain come down? There is nobody coming. Nobody has come out and has made clear that they were the people who perpetrated this sin. Nobody has come out. So why has the rain come? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam speaks to Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala informs him that my slave has made tawbah. And therefore, I have forgiven him and the mercy of Allah, and my mercy will come down. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, let me know who this man is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can I reveal to you who was my sinful slave? Just like the way I covered his sins then, I will cover his sins for him even now. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and his tawajjuh is with regards to the people. So a person makes istighfar for what he has done and he's punctual on his salah. And the final thing that my very dear friend told me to mention is with regards to recital of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will finish upon this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that inna hadhihi al-qulub tasda'u kama yasda'u al-hadid, that indeed this heart, it becomes rusty and it becomes dirty just like the way iron becomes dirty idha asabahu al-ma, when water hits it. You see that ship when it's gone into the ocean, Titanic, sea wreck, and it is there in the ocean, it becomes completely rusty. And then they have to preserve it using all these methods. So this heart becomes like this as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, وَمَا جِلَاءُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that what is the way we can take this zang and this rust away from our hearts? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كِثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ وَتِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ, that you think about death in abundance, that one day I will have to go back to my Creator and I will have to give an account for every single sin that I have done. This is why. And the second thing he said, the recital of the Quran. And this is how a person can enter into Jannah. Three steps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, for that person who fears standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first step. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and he stops himself from committing those deeds which are desirous, he wishes, his desires, he stops away from them. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, the third step is that Jannah will be his abode and he will enter into Jannah completely. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning over here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the ability to act upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all the ability to act upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to be people who are able to subdue our carnal desires and be those people whom good deeds are easy for them, but doing sinful deeds are arduous and difficult and hard for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those people who are pious and righteous. May He make our family members, our spouses, our children, our mothers, our fathers, those who could not be here, who we wish were here with us today as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all in our entirety and give us the ability to rectify our heart in this regard. Inshallah, we will continue with another discussion after Taraweeh with regards to that thing which we have recited in the juz that we will recite today. One other announcement also needs to be made. Inshallah, for the youth, there is a special program this Friday night. On Friday nights, I don't know what happens in Canada, but in UK, then there's all types of people drinking alcohol, falling over. Everyone is drinking alcohol, and they're falling. Binge Britain, they call it. Binge losing and drinking. To the extent that in the metro, I was reading one person got drunk and he got stuck in a public dustbin. And he couldn't get out, his legs were dangling out. So they had to call fire brigade and they had to saw him out. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana. All praises towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us. So there is a special program for our, I don't know what they do on Friday night over here. Maybe they go to Tim Hortons and drink coffee instead of alcohol. Everyone, wherever I come here, everyone saying, "Mawlana Sahib, have you drunk Tim Hortons yet?" I said, "No, I haven't drunk Tim Hortons. Inshallah, soon." So on Friday night, we will have a special youth majlis for our youngsters with regards to their day-to-day matters, with regards to what they go and see in high school and university, etc. The problems that may afflict their hearts and their lives. And that will only last for 10 minutes. The main thing on Friday is the question and answer session. Inshallah, our Abdul Rahim bhai, can't he? He's here somewhere. But our Abdul Rahim bhai and the other committee members will be placing a box in the masjid. Sometimes people feel really, really, sometimes shy to go in front of the ulama and say, "Maulana Sahib, I can't stop looking at a woman." And they think immediately Maulana Sahib will give them one slap upon their face. This is how it is. So sometimes people feel shy in asking their problems towards ulama because they feel, oh, this is such a big problem in my life, but I feel so shy to ask it. If I ask Maulana Sahib that I'm in love, he's going to give me two slaps across my face and he's going to send me to do some zikr. So what it is we will place a type of box inside the masjid, and a person can write down questions, whatever questions he has, and slowly we'll fill up over the next few days this box full up with questions. We will try our best to avoid those things in which there is fiqhi and ikhtilafi masail. We don't want to go into things which will cause disunity. We want to talk about those problems which are of great problems towards the youth. And inshallah, we will speak with regards to this at length on Friday, and we will have the special program. And the majority of the discourse on Friday will all be with regards to question and answer. So those brothers, those elders who have also some type of fikr and some type of worry with regards to their children, what their children are doing, and they want some advice as to what they should do, or they are writing on behalf of their children that my son does this, how shall I guide him and advise him in this regard, this box will be available. Brothers are there, you can go anonymously, really quietly when everybody is asleep at night, and then you can crawl out and put your question in there and then go back to sleep, or read the hadith even better, and then go to sleep. So you can do these things, and inshallah we will answer them in this regard. Jazakallahu khair for your time. Wa akhu da'wana. Alhamdulillah.